I think the news has been dominated by the AI Act, through the AI Act, all the AI standards. So that is one priority. The Cyber Resilience Act, another big piece of European positioning and European policy that will be supported by cyber resilience standards. So we have a lot of work coming up on that.
You are listening to The Standard Show, the podcast that brings you the stories behind the standards with Matthew Childs and Cindy Paragill.
I mentioned the digital strategy that has driven also data interoperability, the digital product passports. Those are other two very big pieces of work coming our way. And not to forget, I think, because of course we're talking about all very non-technological priorities, there's also a very big attention paid to sustainability, to circular economy. We have a lot of work continuing, but also starting up on that. And I think we'll see this combination of digital and sustainable quite strongly in 2024 and beyond.
Hello, my name is Matthew Childs and I am with...
Cindy Paragill.
Hey, Cindy Paragill, how are you?
Well, you know, getting down to brass tacks. How about you?
Oh, I like that one. Well, trying to hit the nail on the head.
Beautiful.
I do like it. Do you like it when we try and hammer these things home?
Oh, I love it. Sometimes you just got to do it.
You've got to do it, yeah. So I should say, welcome to The Standard Show, the podcast that for nearly 4 years and approaching 150 episodes brings woo-hoo! You the stories behind the standards. I know, woohoo!
Oh my God, time flies. Can you believe it?
I actually can't quite believe it, actually, but I'm sure. Do you think there's sort of some national, maybe international celebration being planned for us right now? The bunting and the flags being prepared?
Most certainly. Let's go out on a hunt and find out where this is taking place.
Now, the voice you heard at the top of the episode was that of Andrea Gulacsi, Director of Policy and External Affairs at SEN and SENELEC, the European standards bodies. She was talking to me about the standards priorities for SEN and SENELEC in 2024. Now, this conversation with Andrea had been some time in the making, but after 3 months of on and off, I finally managed to track her down in Brussels. And it was I literally did stalk her. Yeah, I managed to. So I've got 3 months out there and I finally managed to get a microphone in front of me.
No, so was it a virtual recording?
Or it would have been nice to do face to face, but it was a virtual recording, yes. But we finally did it after 3 months of on and off.
Super.
And that was a conversation not just about standard development priorities, but also about the European standardisation strategy and that recent European Court of Justice judgment on free access to harmonised European standards, which we covered in last month's Standards Desk of News. And a couple of things particularly close to my heart, standards education and standards research.
And Matthew, let's not forget her standards journey. She's done a lot of different things. She's gone from standards development to stakeholder engagement.
That's true. She has indeed. Now, it's been quite a long time since we took a specific look at European standards and the whole standardisation system
in
Europe. Well, the last time I checked this, episode 13. Oh, can you believe that? Of the 100 and nearly 150 that we've done. Now, Cindy, I'd also check this. It was so long ago that I think you were actually still at school.
Very funny, Matthew Charles. Moving on.
Actually, Brussels, is that a place you spend much time in?
Yeah, I like Brussels. I go there every now and then. I love Belgian chocolate, hands down, the best chocolate. And waffles and beer. How about you?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of all three of those, in fact. In fact, Belgian beer, maybe we should celebrate our 150th episode with lots of Belgian beer.
What an amazing idea.
I haven't, no. Brussels is, I've been a couple of times. I haven't spent much time there. But at this time of year, I do spend a lot of time, quite a lot of time, looking at Belgium through my TV screen, actually. Ah. Because it's all about watching the Cycling Spring Classics.
Of course.
As you know, yeah. So I spend a lot of time doing that. Now, we're recording ahead of probably my favourite race of the entire year, which is the Tour of Flanders. It's taking place this weekend.
Oh, nice. Tour of Flanders, a common thread in our podcast, I would say.
It has come up. Yeah, that's true. It has come up quite a few times. In fact, I rode it. I rode it a couple of years ago. Well, rode it before the professionals did. And yeah, one of my most favourite cycling experiences. But anyway, we should, probably shouldn't talk too much about cycling. But talking about school and of Brussels, my son is off to the European Space Centre in Brussels on a school trip. He goes tomorrow. How about that?
How cool. What a nice school trip. International school trip.
I know. I didn't do anything like that when I was at school.
Well, I hope he has a great time.
I hope he does. Although there's been a slight problem with their travel arrangements. He's not getting a ferry until midnight tomorrow night. So I don't think any sleep is going to be had by that bunch of 14-year-olds. So.
Well, I'm sure they're not going to complain about that.
That's true. Now, just a reminder that before we hear my conversation with Andrea, a reminder that you can rate, review and subscribe to The Standard Show wherever you get your podcasts. And you can get in touch and find and follow us on social media too. All the details are in the show notes. Now, in early March, the European Court of Justice, or the ECJ, delivered its judgment in a case concerning public access to four harmonised standards under Regulation 1049. Now, Regulation 1049 is all about the right of public access to documents.
A harmonised standard is a European standard developed by a recognised European standards organisation, so SENS, Senelec, or ETSI, following a request from the European Commission to one of them. Around 25% of European standards are developed following these requests, and the resulting standards support public policy in a variety of ways. Most commonly, to respond to harmonized regulatory requirements across the European single market.
Now, the judgment itself did not call into question that harmonized standards are subject to copyright protection. However, the ECJ did find there's an overriding public interest in the disclosure of harmonized standards under Regulation 1049, and it therefore annulled the European Commission's decision to refuse free access to the four standards requested, which were all about EN71 for toy safety. I started by asking Andrea about SEN and SENLEC's reaction to the judgment.
Actually, that's a very good question. Of course, it's been a bit dominating the news now around standardization lately, this European Court of Justice ruling. And it's been a bit of shock to the system, if I can call it like that. I think it's been a very, from our point of view, so from SEN-SENELEC point of view and the members' point of view, I think we need to be very strict and very clear about the distinction between law and standards. European law being obligatory and standardization being voluntary process. And I think that's the core value of European standardization, which now, of course, through this judgment has been a bit questioned. Being a ruling, the main party to this ruling is the European Commission, so they will need to implement now the decision. I think from a system perspective, where we're at today is we have to turn this challenge into an opportunity for SEN-SENELEC, for the members to see how we go on with harmonized standards, and time will tell. Of course, it's a very topical question, but also very much now being debated and discussed and adapted in the system. So I think it's stay tuned would be the no.
I think there's definitely more to come. We're on a bit of a journey with this, aren't we? And talking of standards journeys, now look, being the Standards Show, we ask all of our guests, really, you know, what's been their standards journey. So how and when did standards start for you, and where are you now?
Standards started for me a long time ago. I don't know if I should say that because everybody goes, oh my God. It's been quite a few years now that I'm in standards. It's been a bit of an accidental start, I must say, because it's I was initially recruited based on the languages I speak, translation jobs, but then, okay, that was not the right fit. So I went into standardization and standards development. I'm now with SEN and SENELEC, so the European Standards Organizations, for 20 years, but been through quite a few different jobs and different responsibilities. And since the beginning of this year, I'm responsible for all our policy and international relations and research activities. So that's my my current responsibility. I did start in standards development, so really in the standardization core standardization, technical committees business. I was responsible for the services work, and I started just when the services directive regulation was being developed at the European level. So a very nice way to combine, if you want, policy, single market, standards, and see how they work together.
Do you miss at all getting involved in the standards development side of things?
I do. I think it's very hands-on, and it's a very the beauty of the standards work at the European level is really bringing all the different voices and parties to the table. And I think for someone, I mean, I have a policy and international affairs background. So for someone to be sitting in a committee meeting where you see really how people negotiate their position, their national position, how they bring issues to the table, it's a very fascinating work. I must admit, if you understand the subject, great. If you don't, you're a bit lost. But it's a very dynamic and very, very interesting process. So I do miss that. Of course, I do, being a policy background, I very much enjoy being now the part of policy and policy engagement.
You are director of policy and external affairs now at Senate Stenlake. I've just been interested on a day-to-day basis. What does that involve?
A variety of things. And probably that's what keeps me also still in Senate Stenlake, is the variety of my files. I mean, a regular normal day would be different discussions and exchanges with the European Commission. We have also exchanges with the European Parliament on certain priority files. Then joining meetings with experts, with other European associations. I mean, being a European association ourselves, the links we have in Brussels are with other European associations, with our partners, and discussing that. I mean, at the moment, just to give you a sense of things, we're meeting with digital associations, talking about the digital product passport. We're meeting with construction associations, talking about green deal, the green, the sustainable construction. So that's another part of the job. And then, of course, we have increasingly so more and more Senelec participation in European research projects, which brings another dimension to the work. So it's a very busy days, busy weeks, busy months.
Now, you mentioned some of the European institutions there. You talked about the Commission. I just wonder, you know, for listeners who may not be aware, you know, what is the relationship between CEN and CENLEC and the European Union and the European Commission in particular?
That's a good question. I think it's also a bit misperceived aspect of who we are and what we do. I think important probably for listeners not fully familiar maybe with CEN and CENLEC. I think as European standards organizations, there are three, CEN and CENELEC and ETSI. We're all three recognized by a regulation in Europe that sets out the grounds of who the European standards organizations are and what do we do. Now, our relationship with the European Commission is what we call in our lingo, if I may say it, like there's a public-private partnership. So we do have a very well-functioning relationship with the European Commission. We get requests from the European Commission to develop standards. You were mentioning at the very beginning, you know, the European Court of Justice about harmonized standards. So we do receive requests from the European Commission on that. But as such, it's a partnership. So it's we're... As standards organizations, obviously stakeholder-driven, industry, but SMEs as well, consumers, environmental voices all drive the standardization work program. However, being part of, if you want, the invisible glue, if I may call it like that, of the single market through our standards, we do have a very close relationship with the European Commission as well. Hence why this possibility for the Commission to issue requests to CEN, CENELEC and ETSI to develop certain standards.
Sort of a partnership relationship. But in terms of the European standardization strategy, where does CEN and CENELEC fit in with that as well?
Well, that was, I mean, it's as a strategy, of course, it's a strategy issued by the European Commission, but very much making us the central actors into it, you know, bringing very much the light and focus on CEN, CENELEC and ETSI. Where do we fit in that? I think we welcomed very much the strategy when it was issued in 2022, if I'm not mistaken. And because it brought a different understanding and a different, maybe more political light to standardization. So it made that shift from what is what was perceived as a purely technical work to something that actually deserves attention from a more policy level, from a more trade perspective, from a more, you know, global positioning level. So in that sense, it was a very welcome piece of communication from the European Commission. From the links that we make with that, or the concrete relationship we have, is of course our Sensenelec strategy 2030 very much echoes and is aligned with the European standardization strategy. And I think that validated a bit the work and the thinking that we did as a membership organizations into where do we want to be in 2030. And the European Commission strategy reinforced some of those aspects. And that gave way to a lot of collaborations. And I think probably the listeners have been hearing about the high level forum, the, you know, positioning European interests at the international level, the Green Deal, the digital strategy, and all these things. I think standardization became suddenly a bit more of an integral part to wider political priorities.
That's an interesting. I just want to sort of pick up on that, because how would you describe, you know, the European standard system generally at the moment? What sort of state of health? How would you describe the state of play for European standards at the moment?
That's a nice question. It's kind of looking back now and looking a bit into the future as well.
I just wonder, given what you just said there in terms of the sort of the added political context, is it in a healthy state?
I think so. And I think the shift we saw in terms of where it stands is suddenly standards are not seen purely as an implementation tool, are seen also as a bit more of a strategic policy tool. And I think as Europe, we have become more wary maybe of where other regions of the world use standardization to their advantage. So why are we not doing the same? And I think that has been a boost to our activities. And we saw standardization now being integral of trade discussion, integral of the different TTCs that are in place, integral to research. I was mentioning, you know, research projects increasingly so make reference to standardization as an implementation tool. So it's been a shift in the way we perceive standardization. I think consumers have become a lot more alert and aware of standardization. It comes, of course, with its own set of, the more someone knows what you do, and the more, you know, it's becoming a public knowledge about standardization, the more questions come up as well, maybe, and criticism. But I think it's a good dynamic that we have at the moment with regards to standardization, and also a reassessment maybe a bit on where standards fit in the wider European sphere. And we have from stakeholders, from consumers, from industry as well, but also from the policymakers, increasing awareness and understanding that standards is an important tool that needs to function for the single market.
Do you want to help make people's lives easier, safer, and more enjoyable? Well, why not become a standards maker and have your say on the development of standards? Standards affect all of us every day, wherever we go, whatever we do. By defining good practice, they help people and organizations to do things better. Each year, standards bodies publish thousands of standards, and we are looking for more people like you to join our community of standards makers. We welcome applicants from all fields, backgrounds, and career stages. Our goal is a simple one: to have a balance of views around the table. By becoming a standards maker, you could help to improve the way things are made and done, like creating healthier and more inclusive workplaces, developing higher quality healthcare systems, making advances in AI governance, or accelerating climate action, and many, many others. So if you want to make a difference and shape the world through standards, start your standards making journey now. Details of how to do so are in the show notes.
In terms of priorities for 2024, I've asked you to come on here really to talk about, you know, where are we with standards development at the moment for SEN and SENLEC. So what are your standards priorities for 2024?
There's a lot. I mean, in terms of European policy priorities, of course, we're also at a very interesting, it's an interesting year this year because of European elections are coming up very soon as well. So there are a lot of critical files that we need to deliver and position ourselves on. I think the news has been dominated by the AI Act. And through the AI Act, there will be AI standards. So that is one priority. The Cyber Resilience Act, another big piece of European positioning and European policy that will be supported by cyber resilience standards. So we have a lot of work coming up on that. I mentioned the digital strategy that has driven also data interoperability, the digital product passports. Those are other two very big pieces of work coming our way. And not to forget, I think, because of course we're talking about all very non-technological priorities. There's also a very big attention paid to sustainability, to circular economy. We have a lot of work continuing, but also starting up on that. And I think we'll see this combination of digital and sustainable quite strongly in 2024 and beyond.
You mentioned there about artificial intelligence, the AI Act, the EU AI Act. Just how important a piece of legislation is that, do you think, for standards development in Europe?
I think it's critical because, first of all, the discussions around the AI Act have been very lengthy and very complex. And from the standards organizations' perspectives, we have been consistently involved in those discussions to make sure that the standards work that will follow and will be connected to the AI Act is aligned with, of course, with the European industry and European society needs, but also that we do take into account what is happening internationally, because of course as SEN and SENELEC we closely work with ISO and IEC, and there is work happening on AI standardization at the international level. So standards are definitely integral to the AI Act. We do have very broad technical committee at the European level on AI. There is the same at the international level. So I think our role will now be the alignment with the international, but also making sure that whatever needs to be delivered in terms of European specificities with regards to AI, we are the organizations to do that.
You mentioned the political earlier, Andrea. I just wonder where you said the European elections are coming as well in June. You know, what influence might the results have on European standards development?
I mean, we're as standards organizations, of course, we're apolitical. So I would hope that in terms of elections and results, the impact will not be so visible or so immediate. But definitely in terms of where Europe will set its next priorities for the next political cycle will be very important for us to take into account and see how standards fit in that narrative. Because the elections, of course, and their result is one thing, but once the elections are over, we will see a full change of the European institutions, which means, of course, new people coming in key positions, new people with new agendas and new priorities. And those priorities will then drive what comes next also in terms of European standardization. So our main role this year and, you know, early next year will be to very closely, if you want, establish a relationship of trust and exchange with the European policymakers coming up. And to make sure that standardization continues to be taken up in a sound, sensible, voluntary way in the next policy priorities.
Now, something very close to my heart, having worked in this area for a while now, education about standardization, and also research there that you mentioned earlier. Where are we with ITSEN and SENLEC in terms of standard research? What are the big projects that are currently being worked on?
Research-wise, it's a very interesting area and very continuously developing area, but we have a lot around sustainability, around new technologies, batteries. I mean, there's quite a few projects we have in the pipeline as well on that, on ICT as well, and digital. So we see that increasingly being a priority for research. I think where standardization plays the most important role is in what researchers and scientists will call the higher TRLs, which is the higher levels of, you know, technological readiness. And I think that's where we see standards playing its role to enable this switch, if you want, from research innovation to market and market deployment. What we still miss, and I think that's where the education about standardization comes in, is the awareness and the understanding of academia, of researchers, that standardization is also a tool for them to deliver results. And I think that's still a gap that we need to close. We talked earlier now about the European standardization strategy, and I think that's where the standardization strategy from the European Union was very strong, to emphasize the need for education about standardization, the need for a closer link between academia, researchers, and standardization. And hopefully that's something that will continue to develop, because it's not, I think it's also very national. So of course some countries are a lot stronger in making those links with education about standardization, but Europe-wide, I think it's still a gap we need to address. Let's call it an opportunity for the future.
Definitely so. Just wondering on that, just on the education side, you know, where is the most important intervention in your view? Is this at school level? Is it university level? Sort of undergrad or postgrad level? Research level? Where do you think you probably just say all of those, but I just wonder, from your perspective, given your experience actually in working in standards development and in policy and engagement, where do you think we should be intervening to support education about standardization?
I think you're right, probably all of them, but of course we need to choose somewhere, no? But I think where we see probably the most captive or maybe understanding audience of really translating how standards could help them would probably be more at the graduate level, university graduate level, because that's where, you know, building the next generation, no, of entrepreneurs, the next generation of inventors, our next generation that will take forward the different priorities in Europe. I think part of their toolkit, I don't know how to call it, part of their toolbox, no, entering the workforce, standardization should be part of that. And the young entrepreneurs of tomorrow should be aware that, look, by having a new idea, starting a startup, entering the market, yes, they'll need a lot of different knowledge and a lot of different tools to pick on, but standards should not be an afterthought. Because I think there's only that many, clever new products or, services that can be scaled up without standards. And I think that's where we need to make the link and clarify that, equip the next generation, so the graduates, the students, with that understanding of what standardization is, where it can come in, and how it can help them succeed.
So obviously, Andrea, you've been working in this field for quite a while now. What keeps you motivated? Why do you stay? Why have you stayed within the standards world?
Well, I think if, our exchange today and question answers is anything to go by, it's a very varied and interesting job. And it's a job that I think as a European reflects a lot of the European values, European ideals. It's it comes with its own challenges as well, because naturally, building a single solution for Europe is not always easy. But it's a diverse job. It's an international job. It's a job that always brings with it new solutions, new things. And also, I think it's, in the end, also a very tangible job, because you do see concrete standards making, I guess, my life as a citizen. No, when I leave the office, I am a citizen like anyone else in Europe. It makes your life as a citizen easy without too much, thought going into it from a citizen's perspective. I think the experts working on it will probably disagree with me because they'll say, yeah, there is a lot of thought going into it. But as a citizen, when things work, things connect, things make sense, it's really nice.
Are you pitching for a new Senlec strapline there, standards? Just make life easy.
Make life easy, yes. I see. We have trust, and we'll go with trust standards for the moment.
Our thanks to Andrea for sharing with us some of the latest developments in European standards. Now, if you want to discover more about SEN, Senlec, and the European Standardisation System, and also how to get involved in standards, then check out the links in the show notes. And a reminder that the show notes are also where you can find details of our socials and all of the other ways to get in touch with us here on The Standard Show.
You have been listening to an episode of The Standard Show, the podcast that brings you the stories behind the standards, with Matthew Childs and Cindy Paragill.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.